Hi everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now, because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting EXIT PLAN with no spaces to 44222. That's EXIT PLAN to 44222. Again, text EXIT PLAN to 44222.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have you with me. Well, it's a new year, and we're, you know, this is the time of year when a lot of business owners say, this is the time of year I really want to get started on my future. I want to get started on my future planning. You may have had some great holidays discussions with your family about how you want to, you know, change things up a little bit. So this is the time to do it. So who better to talk with than my first guest, who's a frequent guest on the show, Vincent Mastrovito, family business architect and certified DISC coach with Prometheus Partners, Inc. And today we're going to talk about why systems and processes help to build value in your company. Vince, welcome. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Bill, Happy New Year, and thanks for having me on the show again. Really appreciate being here with you and your listeners. So thanks again.
Same here. Vince, Happy New Year to you. I understand things are off the hook right now. It's just, it's not unusual for people to enjoy the holidays and then say, I'm going to get to it this year. I'm going to do something important with my to plan for my future. And so from what I understand, that's what you're experiencing this year. Is it seem like more than ever is, you know, we're in a new decade. And supposedly a huge decade for this type of planning.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, certainly I think to get as a business owner, I think it's always important to get the year started off correctly. And for those who are really trying to not only plan for the future, but to increase value and efficiencies inside of their business, even if they're a number of years away from their actual transition date, it's always good to kind of get things moving along because it allows you to take smaller steps over a longer period of time instead of just trying to take a huge bite out of the apple when you get down to the 11th hour.
Yeah, I hear that a lot from business owners that say, you know, after they get into it, I didn't realize that there were so many things that took so much time to do in this process, and I'm really glad I got the process started because you know, a couple of years down the road, they have a much better outlook on what the future is going to look like. Hopefully, a lot more optimism about that, and ideally, a much more valuable business because they started looking at the business from an outsider's eyes. From you know, what makes the business more valuable? And today, we're going to talk about that processes and systems. So let's get into that, Vince. Before we do, let's give our listeners who may not have heard you one of the dozen or more times you've been on the show, tell them a little bit more about you and what you do with Prometheus Partners.
Okay, well, I'm the CEO of and founder of Prometheus Partners. As you'd mentioned, a family business architect, and what we do is we go into privately held businesses and really, first of all, help them understand kind of what is the state of the current business that they own from a value perspective and from efficiencies and non-efficiencies and what opportunities should they be really looking at. And then just kind of helping them walk through in a structured process to be able to increase those opportunities that would inevitably increase the value and efficiencies of their business so that it's easier for them to transition out when they get closer to that date.
Perfect. Okay, thank you so much. So, you know, Michael Gerber, the author of the E-Myth books, many of you have read the E-Myth books. If you haven't, maybe you should pick one up. There are several of them out there that might fit your situation perfectly. He once said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said something to the effect that a business is a series of processes and systems, and the people, the managers, run those processes and systems. And there you have it. That's a business. So let's talk about why systems and processes help to build value. Vince, let's start at the shallow end. What is a business process?
It's really, Bill, it's really just a process is a series of tasks that are completed within the business to accomplish a goal. And a business process, therefore, really is a process that is focused on achieving a goal for the business. So if you take a look, for one example would be Subway, right? Very simple. We all go in. We probably all had a Subway yep. sandwich from time to time. You start at one end, you go to the next. They're asking for your bread, what time of sub, 6 or 12 inch, and it's just one thing after the other. That is a process to get you from the beginning to the end of the line. And so the process...
And it's always the same. It's always the same.
Other than the sub, it is always the same. That is correct. Yep, they're going to do the same thing every single time in any Subway in the entire world. That is exactly what they're going to do. McDonald's is going to do the same thing in any McDonald's across its footprint. And so all businesses should have processes for every single thing that they do. In many cases, it can separate them from their competition. It can create cost-efficient and cost-saving expenses when you do have it, because you have something that people can follow and understand that you put someone at that process and you can get them up to speed very quickly to run it.
Very good. And so, you know, picture this, business owners. A buyer walks into one business and asks the owner, do you have a process manual, standard operating procedures they're sometimes called? And the owner says, nope, it's all right here, tapping his forehead. laugh, right? It happens a lot, Vince. We see it a lot where owners go, it's all up here. My key employees all know what they have to do, but it's really not written down anywhere step by step. Boy, that's problematic, especially as the baby boomers age, right? So that's a big problem. And scenario two, the buyer walks in and says the same question, where's your standard operating procedures? And you produce a binder or software or something, and you plunk it down on the desk and say, here's our franchise manual, like you talked about. Subway and McDonald's come to buyers of those franchises with a very valuable asset. That's that franchise book, the how to run things the Subway way. So in your experience, Vince, when you walk in and ask that question, do owners typically have that readily available?
No. Some will have some processes that are written down kind of vaguely. Some have gone through to write down a few more. But then it's this phase two of a written process, and that is the actual implementation and follow through by everybody within the company to follow that process the way that it was written out. And so the challenge always, as you said earlier, Bill, is most business owners have all the processes between their ears, like it's intellectual capital or intelligence upstairs. Once we extract it from there and get it in writing, bullet points and things of that nature, this isn't really writing a book. It can be bullet points with some sub definitions if you need a little bit of an explanation. But you have to make sure that people are following them. And that really is a huge challenge for a lot of business owners, of just trying to get people to implement the systems and processes that they really need. And then in return, that in most cases is really slowing down the production of either the service or the product that they're trying to get out the door. And they have a lot more room for error and higher cost as they go through that process.
Yeah, and another scenario that we both run into, I'm sure, quite a bit is we walk in and the owner says, well, you know, Marge over there, she runs the office. She's been doing it for 20 years. boy, if anything happened to Marge, we'd be in a world of trouble. And Marge may or may not have created a backup plan for if she's sick or, you know, out of the office for a couple weeks. But if you want to talk to a business and understand the importance of processes and systems, find somebody whose key person has either walked away or is unable to work for a period of time, and they'll tell you, boy, I sure wish we knew where or how to do X, Y, or Z. So how do you get – now, here's a problem with that, Vince, is that a lot of times those employees keep the information in their head for a very good reason, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they do because they want job security.
Job security, right. But technically, and the argument's been made many times, that that's really the company's intellectual property. They learned it on the company.
That is correct. Right, yeah. And I think the message for the business owner really should be is creating a more team environment of sharing this information back and forth. So it goes along with, you know, trusting within your leadership team and whatnot. And I think some of the experiences that we've had is to really kind of get the owner started or the company started is to go into one department and we look at the department head there. And if there is a few other people below that, we're going to whiteboard out or flip chart out some of the top areas of things that we need to cover on these processes. We let them write the processes out for us to sketch it out. The final approval still has to come from the owner and the rest of the people. Here's why we do it that way. We want to do it that way because we want buy-in from the employees. If I'm the owner or you're the owner of the company, Bill, and all of a sudden you're writing all of these processes out, okay, you have to do it this way, boom, 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 they're going to look at it and they might say, well, you're missing all of this and this and this and this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so if you get them to write it out because they're the ones that are implementing it every single day, now you have their buy-in and you can talk through that, make sure that it is going to fit what you're trying to accomplish for your company. And then there's no reason why they can't follow because they wrote it.
Love it.
So now
it's they probably, you know, do it a lot better than it used to be done, right? They've perfected
it. Absolutely. They're smart, intelligent people. So use their intelligence and let them help you.
So let's talk about the, you know, the question of how do you position it. So, you know, again, the people might be suspicious. How do you document this process? Like you said, you can always start with an outline and a whiteboard and get them to do it. But how do you combat that concern that they might have about, well, are you doing this so that you can fire me or what's going on here?
Yeah, when we have the conversations, we're having the team meetings in the light of that we're always trying to build value and efficiencies, and that the only way that we can do that is to make sure that everybody is not only a clear understanding of what they need to do for their job description, but the process within each department, and how are you going to cross-train between different positions, even within departments, and even if you have to cross departments. And so that is really how we are explaining it to the business owners and their staff, that this is not only a tool to make sure that everybody knows exactly what to do if they're out sick, but it's really a tool to help them learn how to cross-train and bring somebody in, and they could read through processes and probably get up to speed by 80 or 90% just by reading what the process is in front of them. You know, and you give them a couple of examples and off they go. We haven't really had much pushback at all with the fear of losing their position because we are also incorporating the importance of them as leaders and their team, and we are just trying to fine-tune what that is. If you take any organization or professional sports team, they all have processes in the way that they do things. We are going to do it this way. It is not there to eliminate people. It is there to make them more efficient and to make the company more cost efficient as we go through it. And really it's a benefit for them because there's going to be less stresses because there's no confusion. You know, they're not going to be coming in every day pulling their hair up and say, well, what do I really do next? Or this isn't working or that's there. Or I thought we did it this way, or I thought we did it that way. There's a clear-cut way with its variations, if there needs to be, to get this project or this task completed.
That's really, really good input. Mm-hmm. I think you can easily coach it too by saying something like, "Look, none of us are getting any younger here. None of us are getting any younger." And here's the point. It doesn't take much to look around and find a business situation in your area where something's gone horribly wrong because somebody got sick or passed away. You know, you can say, "Hey, we want to become a sustainable business. We're positioning for the next generation of owners, you know, the next 50 years, if you will, of this business. And we can't do it without your help because you've perfected how we do this." So yeah, there's some great, that's some great advice about how to make that happen. And you know, another question for you is how does this help the business and its value?
Well, if you think about it from a perspective, Bill, of really just the smoothness of taking, let's just take any business at all that you are bringing on a new client, and you have to do what we would call onboard a new client. If you have a process that is going to onboard that client, and you know if there are 15 steps that need to be taken from the thank you email, or excuse me, the welcome email, to everything else that has to be done until that client is fully on board with you as a customer, and you understand that entire process, that's going to resonate with your customer. And it's going to show them that you are very organized, you're structured, you're professional, and that you are efficient. And sometimes, as clients have said to me, first impressions are the best impressions and the most important, because if you kind of mess it up initially, then they always kind of have that in the back of their head as to, you know, what else might go wrong. So the performance within your company is therefore going to becoming even greater. And if we think about this in building value, you have now very efficient people in each department, however many departments you have in your business, that are running in cross communication as they go through these processes. That is really enhancing your human capital within your business. And the human capital factor, Bill, as we know, is a very important piece in creating value within your business. So you have less turnover, less stress, less sick days, happier people coming to work, and the list goes on and on. So it's kind of an endless benefit that you have for the business, and it allows the owner or owners, if there happens to be more than one, to really focus more on the vision of the business and not really getting in the trenches every day and trying to remove them from the day-to-day duties and focusing on where they really need to be.
Love it. Yeah, that makes the customer experience is huge, and if it's consistent because they're following the same process, going back to your Subway, imagine if they start at the other, you know, you walk in one day and they're starting at the other end of the counter. You know, you're just like, what's going on here? Why isn't this a consistent experience? I don't know who made my sandwich at the last Subway or the one before that, but I know it was a consistent experience, and that creates brand value. So that's a huge element of it. The other thing is, when you have these systems and processes in place, it probably will come along with some kind of an indicator along the way of whether there are problems, which I would call a dashboard type of a system. In other words, where the owner says, I can back off of, like you said, I can be more of the visionary and look forward on the business. But if there is a problem, I'll spot it because a process or system isn't being solved, and we can get it back on track pretty easily. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and if you take that one step further, Bill, you're exactly correct. Is now you'll find out if you have the right people in the right seat, because if it continues to fail in the same spot, and you have gone through all of the training that is needed and you have really invested into this person to be able to do this particular job, It is going to be much easier for you to understand, okay, I've got the wrong person in the wrong seat and I need to replace them. And so that would either become to the point of you just remove them from the company or you put them in a different position, but you certainly have to get someone else in that spot to make sure that they can do that. So it makes it very easy and very clear for the owner or the supervisors to identify exactly how that is functioning and what is that deliverable when they come back, because you would want to have a dashboard to make sure that you're tracking everything that is going on. I think the one other thing that is really important for any process and procedure that you have written inside your business is that you should also take time throughout the course of the year. Pick a time of the year. It doesn't matter when that is, but pick one time of the year where you're going to review all of those procedures with those department supervisors or people in there to make sure no adjustments need to be made, and then make them at once with that team. Because as we know, the way we do business in 2020 is significantly different than what we did business even in 2010, and especially in 1999 or 1995. And because technology and just the world itself moves so rapidly, it's just important to say, is business being done differently that we need to modify this process slightly? And maybe it's just in a quarterly meeting with your team to say, where are we? Do these things need to be modified? Are there some adjustments? And let them give you their feedback as part of that delivery when you have that meeting.
Yeah, yeah. The notion of a process audit, you know, makes a lot of sense to basically be able to look at everything and say, hey, let's go through this. Are these still the steps? Has anything changed? Has anything improved? Let's keep this up to date. Because there are a lot of situations where I've walked into business owners and said, where's your processes? And they're, oh, man, that is a dusty binder on the shelf. It hasn't been pulled down. It hasn't been looked at. It's kind of like they're, a lot of times they're estate planning. It's or their buy-sell agreement. It's somewhere, it's important to keep that up to date. Vince, always wonderful to talk to you, and I'm glad you're staying busy. I'm sure your clients are getting a lot of value from your work. What's the best way for someone listening to this to get in touch with you and talk about some of these topics and working with you perhaps?
Yeah, I think they have a really great website for people to get some education material. So they could go to www.prometispartners.com, or certainly they could give us a call at the office. That would be 616-622-3070. That's probably the best two ways to get a hold of us inside the website. Certainly they could email us, ask us questions. There's a chat box in there that they could ask questions if they just want to have someone feedback through the website. We certainly would be happy to have that conversation with them also.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know Vince is a very busy person. He has a lot of work going on right now. So if you're lucky enough to talk to him, give him a call and see if you can get a little bit of time with him. I'm sure you'll find it worth your while. Vince, thank you once again so much. I look forward to our conversations, and this one was no exception, a very important topic about processes and systems, and I wish you all the best for the year.
Bill, thanks a lot. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. One of the questions I get asked the most is, how do I grow the value of my business? I'm so busy working in it, I need to work on it. So we've created a special report for you on 10 tips to grow the value of your business. Just text the word DRIVERS to 44222 to get a special free report right to your inbox. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Text DRIVERS to 44222.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now, because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting exit plan with no spaces to 44222. That's exit plan to 44222. Again, text exit plan to 44222.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black. And now the Exit Coach Radio Show proudly presents the All-Star Review, a compilation of one-minute highlights from past guests. Hear more one-minute highlights and full interviews from these guests at ExitCoachRadio.com.
When your business value is wrapped up in your client list, what's the most important thing you can do to drive the value of your business? We asked expert Stacy McKibben.
If you don't have really strong, you know, client relation management tools, CRMs as they're lovingly referred to, if you don't have tools like that in your business, it's going to be very difficult to transition it over. As a matter of fact, your next buyer is going to use that as a reason to drive down your sale price. Absolutely, one of the biggest areas of opportunity that we see in professional services businesses are going back to your existing and previous clients. Oftentimes we just forget that they don't necessarily know the full breadth of services that we provide and how they can use us or even refer us to their friends and family. So that is a big win in most businesses, is just starting there. And it's very difficult to do if you don't have a good system in place with which to do it.
One of the most common ways a business is sold is through something called an earnout. And we asked for information and an example from business broker Chris Bond.
What buyers want to have happen is they want a seller to prove the actual value of the business by having them be patient and waiting for a piece of the payout. So in other words, once the transition period has happened, say 6, 12, 18, or 24 months, the buyer will make additional payments with the comfort that, okay, it is what you said it is. Had a very creative deal earlier this year where down payment was made for about 80% of the deal. A bank stepped in for a percentage of the deal. The seller actually financed another small percentage of the deal. And the earnout comes in years 3, 4, and 5. So everybody's pulling in the same direction, making sure the first 2 years go very smoothly.
What are some of the challenges for leaders in this knowledge-based economy? Here's CEO Coach Bill Anton.
The person that has the most influence over the entire organization is the person that leads the organization. And transforming that person exponentially influences change. My training as a psychologist, my understanding about the kinds of organizations that are going to be successful in the future are going to be organizations that realize that knowledge is their product and that knowledge can only be created by enrollment, not by compliance. And so the task of the leader of the future is to transform the people that work in the organization so that they want to give their best and so that they're willing to offer ideas and perspectives that create knowledge and innovation for the organization.
Medical insurance is a big part of your budget. How do you contain those costs? We ask benefits expert Rhett Bray.
We'll talk about wellness, is how we can start to communicate the importance of the wellness, and that we give the people and the employees the opportunities to do things that will help them to become healthier. We start to educate them on the importance of annual physicals. We start to educate them on preventative care. Women do this quite well. Men have a tendency to wait till body parts don't work and then they go, which can be late. And it's interesting, we take better care of our car. We change the oil, we see the light, the lamp light comes on, and for a lot of us, we don't do the maintenance that we should do on a regular basis. That will identify a lot of issues that people have that now you can start to address, either through medication, through exercise or diet. There are just a few key areas that you can identify that will drive these higher costs.
Okay, so we've heard the term before, treat your business like an investment. It'll be a lot easier to sell down the road. What exactly does that mean? We asked an expert, Don Berzin.
Many of us in the field encourage owners to look at their business as an investment. Some owners understand that concept, but many do not. I mean, for a number of them, they see their business as either a job, a cash machine, a passion, or an extension of who they are. And the term investment sounds a little too removed for them to relate to. And we also let it be known that a business is actually easier to sell when it has a passive ownership. I mean, an owner who is not personally critical to maintaining future cash flows. But let's face it, I mean, one of the last terms that ever come to mind when we think about most entrepreneurs is passive. You know, these people are doers, they make things happen, and sitting on the sidelines is not something that many of them want to do at any stage of their career.
At ExitCoachRadio.com, we're interviewing over 100 top advisors to get you one-minute tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new content daily at 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Why would you have a revocable living trust instead of a will? Here's attorney Matt Amaro.
One of the main reasons that you would consider doing a revocable trust versus just having a will is avoiding what we would call a probate process, which is a court proceeding to distribute a family estate, which can be very expensive and legal fees, court fees, and just involves a lot of court involvement that can be pretty painful. So by using a trust, you can get out of that. Now, if your assets aren't high enough, that's one way you may be able to avoid probate without a trust. And the other way is you may have assets that are able to pass to beneficiaries outside of a trust and outside of probate, even if you don't have a trust. But when you have real property, you usually won't be able to avail yourself of those two exceptions to staying out of probate.
How do most people decide it's time to start exit planning, and what's on their mind when they do? Here's Jim Immel.
Long term is really interesting. I use the analogy of the light switch. Sometimes these business owners don't think about it, and then all of a sudden they wake up one day and they just want to turn the light switch off, and they go from being passionate 100% into the game, and then all of a sudden something starts feeling heavy. Maybe it's a personal situation that's happened, but they literally turn the light switch off. Most of the people that you and I work with, it's more like a dimmer switch. They just don't do it that quick. They do it over time. But what really a lot of them are thinking about is, how do I transition myself out of the leadership position, provide other people opportunity to get into that leadership position so the business is being prepared to transition from a position of strength and not weakness.
People are nervous about stocks and bonds these days. What's the outlook for income real estate? We asked real estate expert Scott Tamkin.
I'm a firm believer that income property will grow wealth over time. And there are parts of Los Angeles where income property is still affordable. The west side of LA doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but there are parts of LA where there are still opportunities. And I firmly believe that, particularly in some of the outlying areas, the gentrification will continue and people will want to rent in those areas, particularly as public transportation expands. People have some extra money. They're looking to invest in income property. I would say good strategy might be to join up with others who are doing the same. There are some crowdfunding sites that offer some opportunities to do that, but I would be careful just jumping in and talk to an expert in the multifamily business. I think over time it will prove to be lucrative.
Protecting your assets is important, but when you do it is even more important. Here's attorney Harry Barth.
A very important component to understand is that, as with all business deals, asset protection being just one of them, is to be able to settle a proposed claim within reasonable limits. It's very, very difficult to do that if you're in jeopardy of losing your home, losing your business, and losing your life savings. So I think that it's important that asset protection is granular. We look at the various components. We take into consideration all of the goals and objectives of our particular clients. And there's not one size fits all. Every situation is different. Every background is different. Every family makeup is different. Every business transaction is different.
What's the best way to use Twitter and other social media? We asked expert Tim Templeton.
I just had a friend ask me today, I don't really get Twitter. What is the value? And I said, you know, it's two things. It's self-promotion, or business promotion in this case, and it's research. So if you want people to know who you are and what you're doing, and you create content, you create blog content, you want people to see it, one of the best ways to get it out in front of people is to send out an announcement using Twitter. Likewise, if you're trying to find people in your ecosystem, your business, the analysts, the resellers, the potential partners, you can find them by their activity on Twitter. You can interact with them. You can follow them. You can retweet things that they're sending. And you can create a relationship that way, which is a lot easier than it used to be.
You're listening to one of many shows on ExitCoachRadio.com. We're interviewing advisors, authors, and thought leaders for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. If you'd like to be a guest on any of our shows, go to guest.exitcoachradio.com. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50 plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. We upload new 1 minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
You're listening to one of many shows on ExitCoachRadio.com. We're interviewing advisors, authors, and thought leaders for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. If you'd like to be a guest on any of our shows, go to guest.exitcoachradio.com. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50 plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. We upload new 1 minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. One of the questions I get asked the most is, how do I grow the value of my business? I'm so busy working in it, I need to work on it. So we've created a special report for you on 10 tips to grow the value of your business. Just text the word DRIVERS to 44222 to get a special free report right to your inbox. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Text DRIVERS to 44222.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now, because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting exit plan with no spaces to 44222. That's exit plan to 44222. Again, text exit plan to 44222.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, hey, everyone. Thanks so much for joining me once again. Always a pleasure. It's a new year. Happy New Year. Hope everything's worked out well for the holidays and you're excited about the prospects for the new decade ahead of us. To get you started, who would be better for us to talk to than Reb Risty, the head rebel at Rebel Marketing. And today we're going to talk about some of the ideas and strategies that you can implement, marketing strategies, that is, for 2020. So, Reb, welcome. Thanks so much for joining me once again today.
A brand new year.
Hey, Reb, let me introduce you one more time. We had a technical difficulty one more time. Oh. Sorry, I missed your early comments. So, ladies and gentlemen, Reb Risty. Reb, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Bill, and Happy New Year to you, too. I'm really excited for 2020. It's here.
Boy, who would have thought, right? I mean, it's I'm old enough to have been really excited about 1999 turning into 2000, and here we are 20 years later. It's just unbelievable. So much has changed. Can you imagine? I mean, it's so much has changed in just the last 20 years, Reb. So I'm excited to hear about what we can be thinking about for marketing strategies. Before we get into that, tell us, listeners who might not have heard your earlier interview, which was fantastic. By the way, we got a lot of great comments.
Thank you.
Us a little bit about what you do at Rebel Marketing and why you're the head rebel.
Well, yeah, so Rebel Marketing, we're a B2B marketing firm, and we do full service, but before last year, we really decided to focus on video marketing. We saw the trend and the market really moving into video and content. I mean, content's always been a really strong core strategy for any marketing program, but we identified that video was really kind of up and coming, and now that we're in 2020, there's no question that it is the leading form of content, and the research is really behind that. And so what Rebel does is we take our years of experience from the senior team. We've got our senior digital strategist who's really strong, on the digital side, our senior marketing director, who was actually in general product marketing at Apple for 7 years, and then me. And we really try to build strategy for our clients, utilizing video content, and then helping them distribute that in a way that gets them really good value, as well as helps their businesses grow. So that's kind of what we're doing a little differently. I see a lot of video production companies doing video, but not a lot of firms that are really owning the whole process and helping their clients take it from strategy to production to distribution.
Right. Yeah, good point. I mean, it's not that old of an industry, and it's really become so mainstream. You know, there's this thing called YouTube that's just a fad. It's not going to stick around for very long, but hasn't it become, I believe I heard it, it's owned by Google, obviously. It's among the top, if not the top, search engine in the world now.
It is, and it really is the top search engine for people who are trying to learn. If you're trying to educate yourself and learn, that's where people go. People are visual. They learn better when they're able to see and hear and then practice, what's being taught to them. So video and YouTube, it's such a powerful tool, and it is amazing to me how many businesses haven't figured that out, and it's still fairly inexpensive. For example, there's a Cisco research study that says by 2022, which is only 2 years away now, that 80% of all content on the internet is going to be video. And imagine that, trying to get through all of that. And so if you start today, you're going to be so much further ahead than other businesses. And I know that it's worked for our clients. It's working for us. We've seen, you know, just the uptake in being able to, you know, one of the things that businesses struggle with, right, is communicating to their customers in a clear, engaging, and a meaningful way. And video helps you really cut through that clutter. And at Rebel, you know, we created this step-by-step integrated program that helps starts a strategy and then helps them, you know, build their brand and grow to the next level with video. And I think it's a powerful, powerful tool for sure.
Yeah, I think the one question a lot of business owners are struggling with is how do I make a video? How do I personalize my brand and my experience with a video? And you know, as we've seen, sometimes it has nothing to do with your brand. It just you're creating a memory in someone's mind, like the Geico Gecko as an example. What does that have to do with insurance, right? Not much.
Right.
But it creates, right? So tell us about that. How do you personalize a brand and the experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And wouldn't we all love to have Geico's budget. But even if you don't have a Geico-sized budget, personalizing is, just the fact that you would put yourself or your executive team on camera, right there, immediately people have a personal connection. They get to see you. They're hearing you speak, and you're building trust with them before they even get to meet you. Another way, you know, to personalize as well, whether you're doing it video or your website, your messaging, is really bringing that down to the local level. So, for example, we've got a commercial real estate company that we're working with, and they are now trying to build localized campaigns where they're, for example, their offices here in San Diego. Instead of just saying, you know, we provide commercial real estate, we provide commercial real estate in San Diego. We're the San Diego experts. And really showing your audience that you care for them at their level in their own communities. And then video just pumps that up in a way that, like I said, it's people get to meet you before they even get to meet you. And I think that's an incredible way to connect with people and personalize your brand.
Okay, point well taken there. A big question I think a lot of people have is, again, should I be talking about me or should I be talking about you when I'm talking to, you know, what's most effective? And another question I have is, what's the optimal length? It seems like we have very, very, very short attention spans these days.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, and it depends. I think, you know, 1 to 2 minutes, if you're talking about something specific and you've got valid points, right? So I'm trying to remember. So your first question was to, like,
well, for
what
instance,
people
like,
be doing?
I've been doing this for 50 years, would be one statement, would be like, as opposed to, you're going to be doing this for the first time, you can't afford to get it wrong. Those are two examples of statements, right? Opening statements. Which one's stronger?
Right. The one you can't afford to do this wrong. I think, you know, a little bit of kind of setting people expectation, like, wow, I should listen to this. That's kind of, I don't want to say it's creating fear, but it's a little bit of a failure point. You know, one of the things that we follow is the story brand methodology, and Donald Miller talks about that you do want to express to people what happens if they don't use your product and service. And that's actually a great, great example of, if you don't do this, you may fail. And so I like to think, though, if you're just getting started in video, the best way is just to introduce yourself, going back to personalizing your brand, like, who are you, what do you do, and why do you do it? And then talking about from the customer's perspective, what are their pain points and how do you help them in a very succinct, easy way so that they can identify, that's the product or that's the service that's going to help me, and these are the people that understand my problem. So always coming from the customer's point of view is going to help you get that message across faster and easier for them.
Okay, I get it. But, you know, and it sounds logical. However, one thing I'm wondering is, it seems like humor trumps all, well, it seems like I don't want to use that word. It seems like humor overrides all of those strategies these days in some of the big brands out there. How important is humor in your marketing advertising?
You know, humor is a fine line, right? You can be very funny, or you can easily offend people and not, realize you're going to do this. So I think humor should be a part of your personality and brand. If you're a funny person, Bill, you're outgoing, you like to tell jokes, and that's a part of who you are, then I think that can come through and it'll be very sincere and honest. But if it's something that you're going to have to force yourself to do, I'd probably stay away from it. Just because at the end of the day, the consumer wants to see the real you, and you can only be yourself, right? So I think there are some things you can, fold in. But again, just being yourself, starting with what you understand the customer's pain points are going to get a lot mm-hmm. further. And then once you get comfortable, maybe throw in some humor. But I think, especially on the professional level, it's probably not a comfort zone that a lot of people have. Please not to get on video right away.
Yeah, and don't try to be funny if you're not funny.
Yes.
Ask your husband or wife. They'll know.
Yes, they'll be honest. So, find someone honest.
Find someone honest. And of course, that's if you are the brand, right? So if you are a professional and you're selling your experience. But in many cases, again, we've seen brands come out with they're non-personal. It's we don't know. I don't know who the president of Back to Geico. I don't know who the president of Geico is. All I know is the Gecko, and they have some funny commercials, right? So they're trying to get us to like them, the brand, right? And some brands will use we help. For every pair of shoes you buy, we give a pair to a child in need, right? Those types of things, right? So some are socially responsible. So we have all these facets of marketing that we didn't have back in the it didn't seem like we had. Well, I guess we've always had the soap opera, kind of thing, right? So the commercial. But now we're talking about personal branding and personal ways, and it's very interesting. Why aren't more businesses doing video, Reb?
I think it's just the fear factor, and I think just really quick to your previous comment about Geico and some of the larger companies is that they have strategically positioned themselves. They've made that part of their messaging. And so I think if you are at a corporate level, again, it is going back to what is the strategy of the company, the corporation. Are they trying to be, more socially responsible? Is that something their audience is keying into? Or is their audience looking for that humor? They're trying to take something dry like insurance and making it funny. So I think those just go back to strategy. And then when you look at video, it is something, especially at the small to medium-sized company level, it's a fear factor because usually the owner or the CEO is very much the face of the company. So they have to be the one getting on camera, or the executive team, finding somebody that's at that authoritative level. And it's just getting comfortable on camera. They don't know where to start. They think it's going to be expensive, and there really are programs like the ones that we've put together where you've really created turnkey step-by-step processes that allow the video process not to be so onerous, and we can make it at a budget that's more friendly for small to medium-sized businesses. And but the biggest thing is just the fear. So we work with a really amazing media coach here that helps coach our on-camera clients as well as executives. She does a lot with just presentations and speaking as well. So it's helping people get comfortable. But if you do have a solid strategy behind what you're doing these videos for, then that will really bring along the team and the business, because it's really folding into the whole overall strategy for the company.
That's excellent. And, I would imagine there are steps, first creating awareness, and then if you want to create a different message. And I'm thinking specifically of a certain attorney in the Los Angeles area who started off with kind of a sincere message and then kind of turned into the superhero kind of funny kind of a message about how they they triumph where others fail, you know, kind of a superhero kind of a thing. So obviously at some point they turned from, okay, everybody knows who we are now, let's make people laugh a little bit about it and maybe open up another segment of the audience. It's very interesting, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great example. I think once you start getting comfortable, and it does take a few tries and a few videos, no one's ever going to get it, you know, 100% right out of the gate. But once you do start filming and you start getting comfortable, then you can start, yeah, adding in more personality and doing things that are more fun. So I love to hear that people are doing that. And I definitely think in our culture and our society today, people have a little more freedom like that. It doesn't have to be this dark corporate video. You can have fun. So don't forget that.
That's great. And so, you know, I would encourage anybody listening that this is not for a do-it-yourself kind of a project, because, again, think of all the things we've just talked about, you know, the different nuances, the different aspects, who you really are. Some of those should be, you know, figured out by someone who's got experience in this field. So there you go, Reb. That's my commercial for you. I'm going to give you one question before we get into this. We have a lot of owners that listen to this show in particular that are thinking about positioning their company for sale or succession into the next generation. And
yeah.
A lot of them have a personal kind of a name. It might be their name, for instance, in the company, the Joe Jones Company, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to transition it and create more of a sustainable type of a thing. Should they be thinking about transitioning, because I see a lot of this, to the JJ Company or, you know, some kind of a non-personal brand? And then if they do that, how do they transition that into their methodologies?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great question. And yeah, understanding a little bit about your audience, you know, we talked about brand and building in the video, focusing on video, but it really is about your brand. And, you know, whether you're, you know, ready to let the next generation take over, or you're looking for sale or acquisition, your brand is a very important part of that, right? What makes you stand out? Just like you asked me before, what makes Rebel stand out? You know, there's hundreds of other agencies doing similar things, but what makes us stand out is being able to think, you know, talk with you, Bill, and do thought leadership, using social media and putting ourselves out there with content like video. Those are types of strategies in your marketing today as you build them up that will help position you later when you are ready for a sale or succession planning that makes your company stand out and says to the next generation, this is the company we want to take over. You know, JJ Corporation, they have such a great legacy. Jones himself, you know, is an incredible thought leader. These are things that are going to make your company so much more valuable and really stand out when people are looking at you in that type of environment. So putting
Excellent.
Your marketing strategies today will help later on in the future.
Yeah, maybe you could give a guideline, rule of thumb, just generally, how long should that process of transitioning your brand, maybe you come out with a new brand, a new logo, a new look. How long should you allow for that to take in the general public with a good marketing and awareness campaign to transition?
From your previous brand, is that?
Yes, yeah. As you move from one brand to another.
Got it. You know, that's actually a hard question. It's a good question. You know, I would say a lot of brands are probably looking at, you know, 9 to 12 months before they really start seeing some traction. And it depends
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
how quickly you want to move on that. If you're, you know, not necessarily needing to, you know, go hard, I would say you're probably looking at a full year if you're just doing some organic things, you know, readjusting and updating your brand across different platforms and with your different audiences. If you do want to accelerate that, then you do need to go into some paid campaigns, whether that be, you know, PPC, focusing on key terms, trying to, you know, drive traffic to your website and your brand building there, also on social. So there's ways to accelerate that through paid campaigns, but I would say realistically you're looking at 9 to 12 months before your brand, your new brand will see some real recognition where you can say people like, oh, yeah, that's the not the JJ, you know, corporation, but it's now the Tom's.
They start calling you that. Yeah, they start calling you the new name. Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's that's important for our listeners because a lot of them are considering that transition and, you know, maybe the company needs to refresh, but they should be thinking about that plenty early, it sounds like. One other question I have for you is that, you know, a lot of our listeners, again, are positioning themselves for sale or acquisition. And in doing so, they may need to think about how they can create awareness in within their industry like they never have before, so that they can position themselves to maybe a strategic buyer, a much larger buyer in the industry. How important is it to use marketing campaigns to build that awareness so that they can prepare and position themselves for that sale or acquisition?
Yeah, it's really important. Again, you know, it's how do you differentiate and stand out from the crowd? And I do think that, you know, investment firms or other organizations that are looking at you to buy, they are looking at you on the digital landscape. So where do you appear, you know, in search? What are you doing on your social? Do you have a good cultural environment? Is that coming through, you know, through your social and your digital presence, as well as offline activities as well? You know, are your executives out and speaking in the community? Are you doing some, you know, nonprofit social community building? So all of those things do add up. And I think if you are getting ready for sale or acquisition, you should look strongly at what you're doing on your brand building and your marketing efforts, because you really want to position yourself strong for that potential sale or potential, you know, buyer. And to do that, let's face it, we're all looking online, and that's really where they're going to get that impression of your strength and your ability to move the market and move the community.
Well, I hope our listeners were sitting there with a pen and a pad to write down those questions you just asked, because I think you just came up with a wonderful checklist for our listeners to really be thinking about how, you know, what should I be doing? How can I be prepared? And I think what comes across, Reb, in talking with you as before, is your level of imagination and expertise in this area to help people. And that's really what's required here is not just a cookie cutter approach to marketing. And that's what you get at Rebel Marketing. So how do our listeners get in touch and find out more about what you can do for them or get some ideas?
Yeah, well, first, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. We do try. I try my best to be creative. If somebody does want to talk with me or learn more about Rebel Marketing, they can just go to Rebel, R-E-B-L, no E, R-E-B-L, marketing.com, or you can email directly to me at reb@rebelmarketing.com, or call me, 619-723-0297.
Terrific, and you can be followed. You're on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all under the same call letters. That is REBL Marketing, which again, you're walking the talk. You're walking your walk here, walking your talk, whatever it is. By having consistency throughout all of those. One other thing I want to point out is that Reb is a Vistage speaker. So for many of you that are listening are Vistage members or chairs, and you need a speaker who can come in and talk to your group about what they can be doing in 2020, consider getting in touch with Reb. So Reb, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. And you can come back at any time. Love to have you back and hear about more marketing tips for our business owners.
Wonderful. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We're going to go out right now. Have a great day.
Hey, everybody. It's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. One of the questions I get asked the most is, how do I grow the value of my business? I'm so busy working in it, I need to work on it. So we've created a special report for you on 10 tips to grow the value of your business. Just text the word DRIVERS to 44222 to get a special free report right to your inbox. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Text DRIVERS to 44222.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now, because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting exit plan with no spaces to 44222. That's exit plan to 44222. Again, text exit plan to 44222.